Welcome to Mind Mastery and Manifestation, the number one podcast helping you rewire your mind to erase fear, unlock your greatest potential, and get the extraordinary relationships, businesses, and lives you've always wanted. We're your hosts, Dan Mendelo
and Sophie Kessner. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Mind Mastery and Manifestation podcast. Whoop, whoop! We are so excited to have you here and even more excited to really dive into this next series of episodes where we're really going to be exploring not just the mindset, but really the entire concept of money and what that means for you in your life, in your business, and everything else that that correlates to. So, in this episode, we're really going to be diving into your limiting beliefs, understanding some fears around money, and really understanding debt as well, and looking at what some of the ideologies and some of the beliefs from parents and other people that you've grown up with have influenced you and your money abilities. So, Dan, let's get started.
Yeah, so first, what I'd like you to do is really think about these limiting beliefs as blocks that you live in a world of money. There are so many people out there who have an overabundance of money. I mean, how many people do you know off the top of your head right now that are actually rich or wealthy, right? No, personally, or no in the media or of anywhere, right? They are out there. The money is there. And these limiting beliefs act as blocks. They're walls to you bringing them into your life. So as we go through these things, what I want you to do is see how many of them have applied to you recently or in the past, or maybe even right now today, so that you can start shifting them, working on them, and allow even more money in there. Because I've seen in my life and the lives of my clients that a lot of times we're doing a lot of the right things, or we have a lot of the systems in place, the mechanics there. It's just the way that we think about money that guides us to making decisions that leave money on the table, prevent people from paying us what we're worth, or prevent us from even asking for it. So the first one that I want to talk about here is the belief that money is hard to come by. And that's a tricky one, because remember that your unconscious mind wants to keep you safe and comfortable. So it'll resist anything that'll push you into a situation where you might feel rejection or pain or discomfort from being awkward or losing anything, right? So if you feel like money is hard to come by, that probably came from a history of trying to make money, trying to get money, asking for money, and then being turned down, or finding that the money just wasn't there for you, or being rejected in any kind of way. That's discomfort. So then your mind will think, hey, you know, it's even better than trying and feeling this awful sensation of hearing no, not even trying at all. And what do we need to believe in order to not try at all? Well, that money is hard to come by, right? Because when we believe that, we're not going to try, or we're not going to try 100%, right? That way we minimize the discomfort. Like, I'm not going to put my all into this. I'm not going to put all of my thought, all of my time, all of my energy, because it's just not going to be there. And that way we defend ourselves against pain.
This is a really interesting one, because I think that a lot of people unconsciously attach a part of themselves or a part of their self-worth to their financial abilities or their capabilities, which is very, very interesting when you start to understand and dive into the dynamics of it, which we'll be doing in this episode and future episodes. But it's really interesting because, as Dan mentioned, when we experience pain, right, around the ability to either gain or not gain a certain type of income, we start to attach a certain meaning to ourselves about our worth, our value, and our ability. And so it's easier, as Dan said, to just say, oh, it's not me. It's hard to come by, right? And it's almost like this protective mechanism where it's like, oh yeah, money's just hard. There's nothing wrong with me, right? It's almost like we're protecting a little part of ourselves and saying, there's nothing wrong with you. It's just money's hard. And so it's interesting, because oftentimes what you'll notice is when people start to have these beliefs, right, they start to create this idea that, well, it's hard to come by, so I'm not going to try because I'd rather just not feel bad about myself and not being able to do it than to do it and get hurt and then feel even worse.
Look, you have all sorts of motivations in your mind, right? And the number one is to be safe and comfortable. Like, that's primarily why your unconscious mind even exists. So when you clear that and you get to a point of really believing deep down that money is easy to come by, well, then that makes everything so much more comfortable. I mean, there's no problem with putting in a little extra work or hustling a little bit more time or maybe trying a new risky business venture, working with another person, or, hey, just asking for money, right? Because your mind will think, hey, you know, it's easy. Money comes. No problem. I ask for it. It's there. There's no discomfort in it. And that allows you to safely and comfortably grow and allow money to flow in.
Yeah. And it's interesting because this brings up, we talked about it in probably one of the first few episodes that we launched, where we really put on these blinders, right, with these beliefs, and we only are able to see to what those blinders allow us to see. So if we have the belief that money is hard to come by, really, we're going to go blind to all the opportunities and possibilities where we could easily create potential money, right? So it's interesting as we start to remove these blocks, as Dan says, and we start to open up the windows to the world, and we start to see, like, whoa, here's all these different possibilities and opportunities for ways to, for me to create income and revenue and profit that I just was completely oblivious to or unaware of before.
So when we look through this, think about not only what your life looks like with the belief, if the belief applies to you, but also think about what your life would look like once that belief is clear and you get a real good idea of what Sophie's talking about, right? While with blinders on and with blinders off. Like, here's another one. Money doesn't stay for long. Like, I've had some clients who believe, hey, you know, money comes in, but on the moment it comes in, it's gone, like the worst magic trick. That's just a belief. Remember also, you have a confirmation bias, right? So it activates your confirmation bias. If you believe money doesn't stay, well, then your mind is going to naturally try to prove you right. That's a blinder right there. What it does is it makes you spend all your money on things, right? Because, hey, you've got to support your beliefs. It's really painful to have a belief in your mind and then see evidence to the contrary in your life. So if you believe that money doesn't stay, you're going to find yourself spending money on things you don't need. You're going to lose track of money. You're going to maybe give it to other people when you don't really have it. You're going to overinvest yourself. Maybe you'll go out to dinner too many times or buy all sorts of little things here, coffee and clothes and stuff like that. And by the end of the month, boop, you got nothing. That's just another blinder that we can put on ourselves. And we make our realities happen from these beliefs. On the opposite side, if you believe that money sticks around, or maybe even that the moment you make money, it grows, then you might find yourself even more interested in wise investments, or you may become a really good saver, or you may start budgeting, right? Because you believe, hey, money stays. Not only does money stay, it grows for me. It works for me. That's just what it does. And then your mind will seek out evidence, seek out ways to prove yourself right.
This one's really interesting because it actually ties into one of the other ones that we were talking about previously, is that in a way, people are almost allergic to making money, right? They're like, oh my God, if I'm making this much money, then people aren't going to like me, or it's going to be a bad thing, or people are going to judge me, right? There's all of these fears around what money actually means because we have these beliefs about it being a negative thing. And this is where we create the unconscious habits and behaviors of, as soon as it comes in, I need to spend it. I need to get rid of it. I need to buy another course. I need to whatever that thing is. And so this one's really interesting because it was actually one that I had to deal with for a long time of like, wow, coming from a family who wasn't very wealthy and from being bullied from all the wealthier kids in school, I really didn't like people that made money because I have this very negative connotation of like people who make money are selfish and they're assholes. And I really think they're fucking, I don't like them, period. And so knowing that, I had to work around that belief and think, wow, wait, who are people that actually make a lot of money and they're doing really well in the world? Is it possible that people with money can actually be really incredible, loving, kind people? And when I started to look and take off the blinders, right, from just seeing the world from the perspective of people with money are greedy. I started to see all of the other people and opportunities and businesses and places where it was like, wow, it's actually a really beautiful thing to be able to increase your income and your revenue and your profit so that you can have a bigger impact in the world and really give back to your mission and your purpose in such a bigger way because you're earning more and you're getting out of that scarcity mindset and you can start to step into a place of abundance. And realizing that, it was incredible because then I was like, oh, I don't have to be allergic to money anymore. I don't have to constantly be spending it every time it comes in because I can actually enjoy having it. And I think that's a big thing for a lot of people who come from a background where maybe they had some negative experiences with wealthier people, right? Is starting to actually get rid of that allergy to having money and start to embrace the fact that this is something that will empower you rather than disempower you.
Yeah, I mean, one belief that I absolutely love with that is that if you really want to help people, if you really want to do good in the world, become wealthy yourself. Because with wealth comes influence and resources and notability, right? So that's one of the reasons why I, for example, yeah, I do want to become wealthy. I do want to become famous. But it's not so I can have all of the fun things. Look, I'll enjoy them. Trust me. The moment I can buy a yacht, I probably will, and I'll enjoy it. But it's not really for that. It's so that I can do things like just take over a school and help kids. Why? Because I'm famous, and I can do that. And I'll bring your school funds. You know, you can only swing that kind of influence around when you're there, right? Where you can set up associations like the Gates Association. You wouldn't have been able to do that and donate, I don't know how many millions of dollars, if he didn't become a multi-billionaire himself, right? So there are these contrasting beliefs. The question is, which side are you on? And there's another one that goes along with this, and this impacts you, especially if you're a conscious entrepreneur. That means especially if you've devoted your business, your time, your energy to helping other people, to serving other people. And that really revolves around being able to charge money. I've worked with a lot of people who say, you know, I feel bad when I ask for money, or I feel bad if I raise my rates because then I feel like I'm greedy. It's bad to ask for money. I should do this for a lot less or even for free. And sure, it's wonderful to be able to help as many people as possible. And to that, I'd say have a range of products or services or have something online. Hey, we do this podcast, right? It's a free thing. So that we can reach out and help you no matter what your financial situation is. But if you have this belief that asking for money is a bad thing, or that raising your rates is a bad thing, that it makes you greedy and that you should play small, then you're restricting your influence, first of all, right? And if you really wanted to help people, you would increase your influence, not decrease it. And second of all, how are you going to be able to help people when you're worrying about money yourself? Right? It's like everybody knows the common trope, right? With the falling aircraft. In case of an emergency, put the oxygen over yourself first so that you can help other people, because it's no good to anybody if you're passed out in your chair, right? The same thing with money. If you really want to help people, consider the opposite of that belief. Consider that when you charge people, you're actually helping them. Here's another really interesting thing. People don't respect free things. Straight up. I know this podcast is free and a lot of people won't respect it for that reason, because they'll think, it's free. How good can it be? It's a weird thing. Think about a gym membership. If you got yourself a gym membership and you got a year for free, how many times would you go every month? Would you feel the need, the burning push to go to that gym? Now, what happens if you got locked in a $200 a month contract for that same gym? How many times do you think you'd go? How many times would you go, even if you were tired, but you think, I'm paying $200 a month, I gotta go, like I can't not go, right? And when you went there, do you think you'd just try a little bit, or do you think you'd really get your $200 out of it? Would you really use the pool, the sauna? Would you really work out, or would you go and be like, meh, I'll spend 5 minutes here and I'll leave? Do you think you'd get your $200 worth then? See, when you charge people, you increase their ability to receive your gifts, to receive your skills, to make the most out of your services. you owe it to them to charge. See, that's my belief, right? But I really believe that. That's what I've seen as well. So think about yourself. Where on the spectrum of this belief are you? And how is it affecting you, your life, your business, and your clients?
This goes a little bit more into like business strategy when we talk about the entrepreneurs out there that I'm sure are listening and really being able to charge what you're worth for your programs and your pricing and your packages and your services. I think the other component of that, just to tie this one in here, and we'll probably go a lot deeper in future episodes, is being able to separate your business from your philanthropy. Because a lot of the time for conscious entrepreneurs who are so driven, so dedicated to really wanting to make a difference and an impact and an influence, it's like they want to help these people who are in so much pain and in such a shitty place that they actually don't really typically have the money to invest in higher tickets. And that tends to sometimes actually be the reality. And so one of the things to just become aware of is understanding your business and your philanthropy and using your business as a bridge to help support your philanthropy, which is exactly what Dan and I were talking about a few moments ago, when you want to be able to increase your rates and work with the people who are going to be able to invest the high rates so that you can make a lot more money so that you can then go and support whatever it is that you want to do from a philanthropical perspective. So when we can start to look at that and say like, wow, oh, these are two different components, right? There's this and there's philanthropy, and how can I support both and use my business as a way to grow my philanthropical influence in the world so that I feel supported, I feel abundant, I feel taken care of, and I have more energy, time, money, and space to help take care of other people.
I love that. Really, just perfect, Sophie. Really, really, really. Because there you see that there are so many different ways to help lots of people. And there's another thing, right? There's another belief around money that making a lot of money, that restricting possibly people's access to you is necessarily a bad thing. But when you do start making a lot of money, when you do start raising your rates and you start then attracting a different kind of person, then those people will also become influencers. There's a reason that Sophie and I work with business owners and entrepreneurs. I happen to love especially working with entrepreneurs or business people who also have families, because then working with that one person allows me to like secondhand work with maybe up to hundreds of people, which is gorgeous. Or even just a family, right? Spreading it around. So that is all tied into the belief that it's okay, even good, to charge even more and to make a hell of a lot of money, right? Because remember that having a lot of money is, in my opinion, it's kind of like a lot of alcohol. It doesn't change you. It just makes you even more of what you already are. Like if you're really an angry person and you drink a lot, you're going to be an asshole. You're not going to suddenly become an angel. If you're a really angry person and you make a lot of money, now you're just going to be a really angry person with a lot of money. And again, your influence is going to be bigger, so you're going to be even more of that asshole. But if you're a good person, like I know you are, otherwise really you wouldn't be attracted to this podcast, then having a lot of money will just help you become an even better person. Again, these are all beliefs. These are all beliefs. None of these are hardcore facts. But when you believe them and when you have them active in your life, then you'll be able to use them for your growth and for supporting other people. And this also turns right into spending money, right? That first of all, hey, if you have a fear of spending money, there is no better cure than having a lot of money. Then it doesn't matter if you accidentally spend $100 on dinner. But there is the fear of spending money that's kind of tied into a couple of the other beliefs that we've mentioned, that either money is hard to come by, that it's bad to make a lot of money, that it leaves really quick. There are some other things too, but if you feel like you have a resistance to spending money, especially if it's on yourself, then that comes from a belief system that needs to be cleared as soon as possible. Because every once in a while, I'll get on a call with a client who really wants some coaching, who could really use it, who has an amazing business that genuinely helps people, with a family, ideal client. Like I love helping these people. And then we'll get to the investment and then things stop. And it's really because they don't trust themselves. they don't believe that they'll be able to make that money and a lot more of it back, right? These are all just beliefs. Belief in yourself, of whether when you invest in yourself, when you go to a workshop, a seminar, when you hire a coach, even when you buy a book or an online program, if you feel that like, ooh, if I spend this money, it's going to be gone. Like I can't spend this money. Then that's pointing you to a system of beliefs that is affecting your confidence in yourself, affecting your self-trust. And that is an even bigger issue than just money. Because if there's one thing that is worth your investment, that is worth you spending money on, it's you. It's your education. It's your mindset. It's your confidence, your ability to love and trust yourself. Because everything else comes from that. Your relationships qualities, like your business, your health, just your satisfaction in life, all come from it. So when I hear someone who is afraid to invest in themselves, I see that as indicative of a much larger and often systemic issue that really needs to be healed for you to be able to grow your life, take everything to the next level. Because look, if you don't have self-trust, what do you have? Yeah, I hate to put up the awful truth, but if that's what you're feeling, that's a mirror you've got to be able to look into and make shifts as soon as possible. Because when you do trust yourself and you know, like, yeah, I can dump $15,000 into a program because I know that this will take me to the next level and I'll be making six figures in no time. Well, that'll get you to do the things that you haven't done before, giving you results you haven't gotten before. That'll lead you to making the risks, to associating with people, to collaborating with people that you didn't have access to before. And that's why you're going to have results that you haven't had access to before. It is a total and complete game changer.
Yeah, I love that you brought this one up because I spend a lot of time with some very high earners. We're talking like $1 million, sometimes $1 billion companies. And the minimum package for some of these people is a $25,000 investment. That's more than what some people make in an entire year. And it's interesting because we'll talk sometimes about people coming in and hopping on calls and they know that this thing could really help them and they see the value in it and they totally understand it and they know that people can get results from it. And just like what Dan is talking about here, the common denominator between the people that invest and get results and the people that don't is the fact that they trust themselves to use it and to make it happen and to make it work for them. And I think that this is a really, really big point because it kind of leads you in the direction of like, what are your next steps, right? Do you have the confidence and the self-trust that if you make this investment that you're going to do whatever it freaking takes to get the results? Or are you somebody who is like, crap, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make this work for myself, right? So it's just being able to get really clear on how that self-trust works for you. And again, we could go balls deep into understanding the value of programs and all these other things. But for the purpose of this episode, it's really coming down to the fact of like, if you trust and you see and you believe in the value of what you're looking into investing in, do you have the self-belief that you will do whatever it takes to make it work for you so that you'll get the result, right? If the answer is yes, fantastic. And if the answer is anything other than yes, then it gives you a little bit of insight in where you really need to start, right? Is that, that self-efficacy, right?
Yeah. And remember that all these are beliefs, right? Everything here that we're talking about are beliefs, and beliefs can be changed. So that's the beautiful thing. If you're feeling like, ooh, I don't fully trust myself, I'm not ready to take things to the next level by investing in myself, remember that's a belief. Beliefs can be changed. That's a gorgeous thing, right? None of these are dead ends. Not one of them. In fact, I've had all of them. every single one that we have mentioned today, I have had. And I've cleared them. And that's a beautiful thing. You know, every time I find another money block, another belief that I've got around money or wealth or whatever, and I clear it, it helps me make the decisions that allow me to get to the next level. It's one of the reasons why I have four coaches that I'm working with right now, from business to mindset to health to all sorts of stuff, because I have been able to clear my issues around self-trust. And I know that even if I spend a lot of money on programs, or workshops or seminars or whatever, that it'll come back. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but it will. And that money that I spent will not only come back, but it'll bring a lot of its friends with it. And that's what I've seen. Now, that also leads us to debt. What happens if you are in debt? And what happens when you might go in debt? Because that also has to do with self-trust. And first of all, not all debt is bad. There's a belief that debt is bad. That is just a belief, not a fact. In fact, most of the like uber successful business people that I know of, some of whom I've worked with, $7-8 million businesses right now, they've been in debt, or they are in debt right now. But it's strategic debt. It's because they have, through trust in themselves, invested that money. And they know, absolutely know, it's going to come back. And they know that they'll do whatever it takes because that investment was a wise one for them. It's not just, I'm in debt because I bought a Lexus when I can't afford a bike. We're talking about like really well thought out strategic debt. So first of all, not all debt is bad. And sometimes it is worth going into debt if you're going to invest in your company, invest in your life in a way that's going to pay you off in huge dividends. So that's the first one, that we can open up our minds to using debt as a tool, not as a punishment or not as a dungeon that you're just going to spend the rest of your life in. After all, if you have student debts, that's why, right? You made that decision. You thought about what your life would look like with or without your education, and you chose that it would be better with it. And it was worth it to go into debt for it. It's the same thing. But it seems like now business deals or debts or investments or investing in yourself might be different. It's the same. It's the same thing. And it gets us all into getting out of debt. So if you want to talk a little bit about that.
Well, this makes me think of Angie Lee, is a good friend of mine, and she has this quote that she says, if you're waiting until you have the money to invest in your business, it's like waiting to go to the gym until you're in shape. You can't get in shape until you go to the gym. I mean, you can't grow your business and start making the money until you invest in yourself to actually go ahead and do it. And so when we're talking about this concept of debt, it perfectly ties into the self-efficacy of like, hey, do you trust yourself? And also, again, because making sure that you're aware of like what you're investing in, not all things are great. Sorry to burst that bubble, but you do really need to look into who you're investing in and what you're investing to, and making sure that you're going to get the value out of it and that you're going to take action and get those results, and trusting yourself in that process and knowing that that's the first step for you to do it. And if you're always waiting until you have the money, you're just putting off the results that you're going to get and that much further out. So when we're talking about dealing with debt, this is a whole other component of really just understanding the strategy behind it. And I can tell you, again, having been around so many different 7- and 8-figure earners, that it really doesn't go away. You know, there's that saying that a new level, a new devil, right? And it was really interesting. I spent a weekend up in Venice hanging out with some really, really just crazy powerful women. We're talking like they all have million-dollar companies. And one of them was sitting down and just having the conversation around the fact that she had, we're talking like hundreds of $1,000s in debt. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, wow, this is so interesting. And still feeling like even though she was making a large amount of money, she was putting it all back to paying that off because there was this belief around, if I have debt, then I'm a terrible human being, right? And all of this crazy stuff. And so she was actually just keeping herself in this hole of like never having any money, because any money that she'd bring in, it goes straight to paying off debt. And it's something that a lot of us can relate to, where we're like, oh, I need to get rid of this number. It feels gross. It feels icky. So it's just starting to figure out what's the most strategic way. And there are so many incredible methods. I'm sure Dan and I both have some incredible technologies and tools around this. If you want insight to that, you can go ahead and email us, and I'm sure we'd be willing to give you guys some tools and tips. But really, it's about understanding what type of identity attachment you have to your debt and how you're coping and are working with and are learning to embrace that as a way for you to move forward. And also looking at the habits that that identity has created for you. Are you just putting yourself deeper in the hole? Are you keeping yourself in a place of scarcity and lack where you never have anything? Or are you getting yourself into a strategic place where you're looking at ways that you can actually pay this off that makes sense for you to continue to grow your impact and your influence and your income.
So it comes to the point where you really got to put the mirror up to yourself, right? We've gone over a mess of different money blocks that could potentially slow you down. But sometimes it's really hard to just look at your life and see which ones are active. Because, hey, again, your unconscious mind is kind of hidden from you, right? And especially if you've been that way for a while, these habits are just part of what you do. They might not be noticeable. And your task for this episode is to find some of your money blocks. But I'll give you a helpful tool. Look at your parents. How did your parents feel about money? Were they the kind that budgeted every penny, like mine, for a while? Did they always tell you that you couldn't afford things? Did they fight about money? Or did you have everything you always wanted? How was it? How did they treat money? What do you think they believed about money? Because chances are, if they believed it, you're going to believe something like it. Or at least you used to. But then if you used to, really awesome to find. What was your life like when you believed exactly what your parents believed? And then how did your life change when you changed out of that? And see if you can find some other money blocks that are currently active in your life. Remember that identifying the issues is the very first step to resolving them. So if you're listening to this podcast to make even more money, finding out what's preventing you from having it is an amazing first step.
Love it! Yeah. And so as Dan said, really, really commit. If you're serious about making these changes, or if you're serious about really wanting to get into a place of wealth and abundance and breaking through these money blocks and limiting beliefs, really sit down and do this exercise. And if you're really committed, email us your responses if you feel confident and comfortable with that. And we'd love to see how we can connect with you and support you on a deeper level so that you can really start to break through these limiting beliefs and start actually turning the tables so you can start generating the income, the influence, and the impact that you really want to.
Guys, that's it for this episode. We'll see you next time.